morning, George. How are you this morning?
Blessed.
For over a year now, times to times, I keep asking you these questions, and you answer, we are blessed. But are you really sure about it? Are you truly convinced that we are truly blessed? You sure? Even right now, some of you may face suffering, illnesses, loss of dear ones, loss of possessions, loss of a job. Your career may not go the way you expect it to go. You may have found some bad news. Your relationship may not go the way you would expect. In your own house, with your family, with your friends, your spouse, or with your in-laws. Are you truly blessed? Truly blessed even if you go through some trials and facing storms. Amen. I finished my sermon then. Are you even truly blessed if you may experiencing all sorts of blessings from God, but may not enjoy God himself as you should? Maybe we have some doubts here. This morning, we are going to look and study the life of a very interesting character in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Actually, we are starting this Sunday. We'll have a pause next Sunday, having this special back to church service, and we will come back to this interesting guy Sunday after the back to church Sunday. And we're going to do it backwards, not in a chronological order, for a specific purpose I have in mind. Today we are going to look into the life of such a character that when you read about him, you start thinking and wondering, how can God use such a guy like him in his great plan of salvation? How could God choose a person like him to play such an important role in his scheme of salvation? Sometime when we read about him, we may even find a sort of a relief. It can be worse than I am. Or the other way, I don't know. Can you guess his name? Job, Jacob, Paul. There are several, yes, that's right. Paul was a persecutor. Job was a righteous man when God boasted with him. He ended up suffering because he was righteous, and God boasted with him. But there is a guy who, since he was born, in the process of birth, he was a grubber. He held on the heels of his brother, wanted to be the first. Then throughout his life, you see so much self-centeredness. Such a selfish person, always looking after his own blessings, always desiring more blessings, better positions, a grubber, a cheater. And his name is Jacob. Jacob. Yes, he comes from a very godly family. His grandfather is Abraham. A great man. Well, even Abraham, before he was called, was not such a great man. He worshipped idols. He didn't know God. He had some failures throughout his life, but nothing like Jacob. Isaac, again, not a perfect person, but still a godly person. But when it comes to Jacob, he's really a very selfish person, always looking for God's blessing, but never after God himself. He had promised things to God in order to get blessings, but not really seeking God himself. And yet, God has such a great plan with him. And he shows Jacob's grace as he shows it to us. It's such a great story, actually, to realize once again that we are saved by grace and we are accepted by God by grace alone and his mercy to us. Tonight, we are going to look at a very specific episode of his life in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. If you'd like to open your Bibles here, please. Genesis 32, starting from verse 22. For 20 years, he has been disconnected from his family, from his own land, from God's plan, in a sense, from his older brother called Esau. He had to flee from his country in order to save his life after he had cheated his older brother and his own father in order to achieve the blessing. 20 years being disconnected with his family, his land. Now it's time to come back home. And we find him in this very episode, just about to cross the border back into his own country. He had done many evil things. Now he still fears his life as he comes back. After 20 years, his brother may have not forgiven him. How is he going to face his brother? He had some plans. I'm going to refer to them in a minute. He made some plans, some schemes. He has done everything that he could do in order to avoid being killed or unaccepted by his brother, but still not sure if he had done everything. And as he's there, alone, waiting one more night, planning to cross the border in the dawn, right in the morning, we read, "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled him till daybreak. When the man saw that could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limped because of his leap." Amen. So here he is, alone, reflecting to everything that he has done. And if there is any other thing that he should have done and perhaps he may have missed. He left his father-in-law, not really in a good manner, Let's put it this way. And he is about to cross the border facing his older brother, not knowing how he may react. As we read earlier in the chapter, he had done some things. This man had always planned well. He managed over the years to bend and twist every situation in his favor. Fearing his life, plan E, he managed to split his possessions and his people and his family into two camps, send them into two different directions. And he stayed behind, thinking if his brother-in-law would come and attack, he will attack one of these troops, and then he will watch from the distance, and while his brother searches for Jacob in that troop, he will join the other, will find a way, and he will escape. What a man. Didn't think about his family, his wife, his children. Again, he's thinking of himself. How can he secure his life? How can be sure he will stay alive? But what if might be even a better plan? And in front of these two troops, he is actually now sending various servants with various extravagant gifts on this time to his brother-in-law. You can read at home, if you like, in the earlier part of the chapter, how he carefully selected 220 goats and sent them, led by some people, and just in case they will meet Esau, and he will ask, who are you? And what is this crowd of a herd of goats? And they will recommend, we are Jacob's servants. And these are his gifts for you. He became so rich over the years. And hold on, it's something else behind. And just half an hour behind, another group of servants leading 220 sheep. Hurdling around, bumping in one another, making noise. And his brother will ask, who are you? We are Jacob's servants, and these are gifts for you. Hold on, it's more to come. And behind, there are another 200 plus camels. And after the camels, there are cows and bulls. And behind the cows and bulls, donkeys. An extravagant gift, thinking he may buy Esau off through these gifts. So here he is, analyzing. His mind is focused on tomorrow. His mind is focused on himself. Is there anything else I could have done? And as he's preoccupied with himself, with his own ego, with his own survival, with his own blessings, out of the blue, from the darkness, from nowhere, a strange man, a mysterious man, comes and starts wrestling with him. He doesn't know who he is. It could well be someone sent by Esau, or someone sent by his father-in-law. So Jacob is still a strong man. He's always been strong. He fights. He wrestles. Hours after hours. You know how long? At least 6 hours, if not even up to 8 hours. I remember those days when I was like Andre and wrestled with other children. After 20 minutes, I was done. Perhaps now after 8 hours to wrestle with a strong man. And he couldn't overcome. He couldn't overpower. He didn't know who he is. He still resists. He thinks he's just a man. And while the battle goes on and go on, you will soon discover that this is not just a man. And actually, when this man uses a sort of a power that he could have used before during the battle, but spared Jacob's, towards the end, with a sort of an energy, hits his socket of the hip of the socket of his hip, dislocating his hip. Then, that moment, Jacob recognizes this is not an ordinary man. He could have used that same power throughout the battle. This is something more. This is God himself. And for Jacob, this is the moment when his life is completely changed. This is the defining moment of his life. Yes, throughout the years, through those 20 years being a fugitive in a different country, he has been shaped in many ways by God through his own father-in-law, another cheater, through all sorts of circumstances. But this is the very defining moment of his life when he finally understood something. I was all my life searching for God's blessings, but neglecting God himself. I knew I have a plan in his mind. I knew I have a place in his plan. But I always been focused so much on me. Grabbing, achieving, desiring. And now is the defining moment of my life. God himself. My friends, we may be in the same situation sometimes, if not even now. I have been there several times. When we are so preoccupied by our own achievements, our own plans, our own desires, other sorts of blessings, but not searching after God himself, disconnected from him. Until God comes out of nowhere, out of the blue, when you don't expect it, when you least expect it. And he comes in a manner that you may not recognize. You may think, it's just another man I'm fighting with. It's just a simple problem I have at work. Maybe this colleague of mine that just turned against me and, you know, I need to fight, I need to carry on, I need to prove myself. Maybe this relative just turns against me, maybe my in-law, maybe my spouse, maybe my child just turned against me. Who knows what is your battle right now? Maybe it's just a simple circumstance. And as Jacob, we look at ourselves and we think, oh, we are able. I've handled this sort of situation throughout my life. This is nothing I can take care of. And then you keep battling and battling and wrestling, and hours after hours and days after days and months after months, you cannot overcome it. Because you may not realize that sometimes, not always, it is God behind a person or a situation that we are facing. It is not my in-law, it is not my spouse, it is not my child, it is not my colleague, it is not my friend, it is not that particular situation, it is not the illness itself, but it's God behind, blowing in my neck, breathing in my neck, demanding his central point in my life, demanding a vivid relationship with him, demanding to fulfill my promises towards him. You see it? We may not always see that because we look at what we can see by sight and we are called to see beyond what can be seen. It may be God right now wrestling with you because in a way or another, we are chosen. Yes, we are children of God. Yes, we've made a commitment. We do come to church. But we are still too much focused on ourselves. on my own success, on my own pleasures, on my own image, on my own blessings. And by searching all sorts of blessings, we don't realize that we actually miss the greatest blessing of our life. Because you see, when we face these sort of circumstances and situations, when we face this sort of defining moments of life, we don't realize they may lead us into a place of tremendous, huge brokenness. Out of nowhere, this man came to wrestle with Jacob. He could have broken him from the very first second, but he didn't want it. He led him to the point when he decides to do so in such a powerful way. And through that brokenness, then Jacob had to discover that brokenness leads to greater blessing. And if you may wonder, if you take notes and may wonder what's the title of my message, I kept it until now: Brokenness That Leads to Greater Blessings. We all need that. You may have had it so far. There might be others waiting for us. I had several in my life. You are aware, some of you are aware of them. The first one, like Jacob, I knew I have a plan in God's, a purpose or a place in God's plan. God was so clear about it. Although I was young, he made it clear to myself in an inner call. He made it clear through the scriptures. He made it clear through others. But I had my own plans. I said, no, me in ministry? No way. I'm too young. I'm too shy. I have other plans. I'm gifted in other areas. I will pursue my own things. God had to wrestle with me. Maybe not 8 hours. It was enough seconds to get my hand caught in the machinery when I was 18 and lose 4 fingers. And yes, I remain with an infirmity in my body for the whole rest of the life. Like Jacob, a marked person, a branded person. We'll see later on. That was a brokenness. And in the middle of that brokenness, I thought, everything is gone. Nothing else can be great again. My whole future is spoiled. Only to discover after that, year after year, that there are further blessing, greater blessing that came out of that brokenness. But then, as we are human beings and we times to times come back to our own selfishness and self-centeredness, I want to repeat once again my first experience here in England. I left a successful ministry back in Romania. I had a vision from God to start a new church in England among Romanians. Never thought I would pastor an English congregation at that time. I was a bit more confident in myself this time. If at the beginning I rejected God's idea because I thought I'm not good at all, this time I thought, and I keep repeating what I said to Elena, don't worry, honey. We are very skilled. We've got these rights to work since 2008, all sorts of opportunities. We speak English. It's going to be good. A great, bright future. And we arrived, and for 6 months, none of us could find work. And God had to lead us back to the same moment of brokenness once again. Once again, to prove that he demands the central point, place in my life. It is not my vision, but his vision. And if that vision will succeed, it's not because of my experience, it's not because of my skills, it's not because of my knowledge, it is not even because of my work. But it's because of him. So I can now look back and say, if Emmaus grew, if everything that happened at Emmaus is not because of me at all, and give the whole credit to him.
That's the brokenness that we need in order to define ourselves. Then 6 years had passed, a new challenge, a new opportunity to take over this congregation. Oh, even more experienced. Right before the induction day, you know it. Another greater brokenness in my life. And I start the ministry in this church in a limp mode, limping as Jacob returned into his own land, limping for months. Because God again demanded to be the very first one in my life. To depend on him in every single area. And this is why you, right now, many of you may face all sorts of battles. Look behind the face of a man, behind the face of a colleague, of a friend, of a situation. It is God who sometimes wrestles with us to draw our attention to him. Yes, this defining moment of our lives comes out of nowhere, leads us to a place of brokenness. And after we are being broken, and only then we open our eyes in such a way to recognize it's him. And we are not battling people, we are not battling circumstances, but sometimes even God himself, his own plan. It is his way or my way. That's the whole thing here. Yes, God, I follow you, but my way. I'll be in ministry, but my way. No, he says, no, it's not about. In your family, in your career, in your relationships, is it his way or your way? That's all. That's the battle. Who is right? God. And let's follow this conversation now. It's interesting. God himself, for hours and hours and hours, battles with James, with Jacob. You see, in Romanian, James in the New Testament has the same name exactly spelled like Jacob. And sometimes I may say James instead of Jacob. Or if I preach in James, I may say Jacob. Because in our language, it's exactly the same spelling. So coming back, verse 26. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now think about it. All night long they battle, they wrestle. In a sense, Jacob tries to get rid of this person, to escape of this person, right? After he's been defeated, he still grabs on him. The man wants to go. And he says, no, I'll not let you go this time. Well, all night long you fought with me. You want to escape me. And now you don't let me go after I've defeated, gloriously defeated you. Yes, because now I know who you are. And I know there is more. And when we face these defining moments in our life, they don't lead us just to a place of brokenness, but to a place of claiming more. Claiming something we haven't claimed before. When he says, bless me, I'll not let you go until you bless me, Jacob means something else. All his life he demanded blessings. Blessings from his father, still the blessing of his brother. He prayed to God if he will bless him, and material blessing, he will follow him. He always searched blessings, and he was blessed materially, physically. He was a rich man. That's why he sent all these extravagant gifts to buy off his brother. But then, only then, after this brokenness, he realizes he actually missed the greatest blessing. It is a greater blessing that he never had. And now he says, bless me. It's to discover God himself. It's to accept his way in our life. It is to live with him and play the role he imagined or designed for us in his scheme, in his plan, according to God's way. He thinks now, oh my God, 20 years I was searching for wrong kind of blessings. Well, not necessarily wrong. They would have come anyway, actually, but I missed the whole point. Are we not sometime in the same situation? In ministry, lots of ministers, lots of pastors, I started this way, thinking that, you know, having prestige, being admired by people, leading a church towards success, and, you know, all these things, it's a blessing. But it's not. If I'm not faithful to him, if I'm not doing exactly everything that he has planned for me, I can lead the congregation of thousands of people and not be in his way. And I can lead a congregation of 10 and being in the right place where God wants me to be. That's fulfillment. You can have millions of pounds and still not be fulfilled. You can have colleagues that admire you at work. You can experience promotion after promotion, job after job, you know, always raising in your positions, career, everything, and still not pursuing pleasures, and still not be happy. And this is Jacob's. Now he claims the true blessing. Are you ready? If you are wrestling right now with something and God is breathing in your neck, it's me. Are you ready to claim your true blessing for your life? The life lived in his way only? Then the conversation goes on. And this man, which we now know it's God, asks him, what is your name? Now, please understand, God is not asking for information here. Doesn't know God? Does God don't know who was fighting with all night long? Did he fought with the wrong person, maybe? Not at all. This is a question that leads Jacob into a confession. Because let's put all of these points in C. This defining moment is the moment of crippling, brokenness, crippling. Defining moment that leads us to claim the true blessing of our life. But this moment really leads us to confess who we really are and all our struggles and all our issues. In other words, let me translate. When God asks, what is your name? Again, he doesn't ask for information. He knows exactly who this person is. But on those days when people give a name to their children, often those names reflected their personality, his character, the way they will be in life. And when Jacob's answer, Jacob, he just said who he is. A grubber, a cheater, a twister. A shrewd person. This is who I am. Jacob, this is me. A place of confession. Stop wearing masks. Stop pretending you are something else, says God. Look inside after this wrestling time with me, after the brokenness, who you really are. Well, God, this is who I am. A sinner. And that leads one step forward. This defining moment is leads us to a place of consecration. So verse 29. Jacob said, please tell me your name. Interesting, God this time didn't reply. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God's face to face, and yet my life was spared. But I still miss the verse that I want. Verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. A place of consecration, when God changed his name into Israel. In other words, God says, from now on, you'll never be the same. From now on, Jacob, you are forever defeated and forever victorious at the same time. You are broken and whole. You are broken and blessed. You need a new name. Why? Because this needs to reflect the new reality of your life. Yes, you struggled with God. Oh, Jacob, you didn't struggle with me only these 6, 7, 8 hours. You struggled with me since your birth. You struggled with me. You wrestled with my plans. You wrestled with the way I wanted things in your life. You always found your own way. You always looked for you, for your success, for your blessing. But now you are forever defeated and forever victorious. You have struggled, but you have overcome that tendency now. You'll be changed. Only through this sort of experience God changes us. I know we would prefer only after a good sermon. Go home and you'll be forever changed. After a prayer, go home and we will be forever changed. Unfortunately, life is not that way. Because we are too stubborn. Because we push God's hand, in a sense, to come and wrestle with us, to lead us to that moment of brokenness. So consider all the circumstances of your life right now. What are we facing? What are your struggles? With you, with whom are you wrestling right now? Can you see beyond what can be seen? Can you see beyond the face of a man, of a circumstances? Can you see God behind, orchestrating all these things? If you are not yet there may be just a nugget problem right now raising in your life. And I think, oh, don't worry. I've been through this. I've handled these things before. But without knowing, you may find out how those little things may escalate in your life, mushrooms around you, until it will lead to a place of brokenness. It's better to prepare ourselves and to accept, because when we face these things, we are actually get ready for the greatest blessings of our life. So will it be your way or his way? Let it be him. Amen.